8:13 here on the Ticket Tuesday morning with the Musers. Fernando sent me this article, and I found it pretty entertaining. And I've actually had an experience with this topic. It's the topic of pickpocketing. Have you ever been pickpocketed in your life or known someone who was pickpocketed?
No. I don't think I ever have been. I think that I busted someone attempting to do it once.
Mm-hmm.
I was very wary of pickpocketers when I, the first time I traveled overseas, Q Vivaldi. But, you know, they warn you because of those big tourist areas, there's lots of pickpockets that work the scenes. And so I was very aware of pickpockets, or trying to be aware of it and trying to take countermeasures up front.
Mm-hmm. I was given the same warnings the first time I went to Europe. And on maybe the second or third trip there.
Gosh, cued triple Vivaldi.
Oh, I've been a ton of times.
Gosh!
My buddy Dave and I are on a train in Paris, a subway. It was one of our bike trips over there. And we flew into Paris and we spent the first night there, and then we drove out into the countryside and did a bike trip. But we had one day in Paris, and we get on a train, and I was always told, put your wallet in your front pocket. So I did. I didn't get pickpocketed, but we got off the train, the metro, as they call it in Paris, and we start walking down the street towards a bar or something, and he goes, wait a minute, where's my wallet? Did I leave my wallet in the hotel? No, I know I had my wallet. He had it in his jacket pocket. He got pickpocketed on the train.
Wow. Mm.
And the rest of the day was spent calling credit card companies and, you know, all. I think he kept his passport. The pickpocket did not lift the passport, but he lifted his wallet. He had no idea, no clue. And he was replaying the whole train ride trying to think, who was it? When did it? It had to be someone that bumped into me, or...
They're so good, though.
They're
the
so
move,
good.
Right? They bump into you.
That's what they are in movies, but in general, right. I think that they don't even, you don't even feel them.
He couldn't come up with one possible candidate. That's how good the guy was, or gal was, who lifted his wallet. Well, this article in The New Yorker talks about maybe the greatest pickpocket of them all. And it starts, a few years ago at a Las Vegas convention for magicians, Penn Jillette of Penn and Teller was introduced to a young guy named Apollo Robbins, who has a reputation as a pickpocket. Maybe the best pickpocket ever. Jillette, who says he ranks pickpockets a few notches below hypnotists on the showbiz totem pole, was holding court at a table of colleagues, and he asked Robbins for a demonstration, ready to be unimpressed. Robbins said okay, but that he was uncomfortable working in front of other magicians. He pointed out that since Jillette was wearing only shorts and a sports shirt, he wouldn't have much to work with. Come on, Jillette says, steal something from me. So Robbins says, I don't know if I can steal something from you, but I'll do a trick instead. So he instructed Jillette to place a ring that he was wearing on a piece of paper and trace its outline with a pen. By now, a small crowd gathers around. Jillette removed his ring, put it down on the piece of paper, unclipped a pen from his shirt, leaned forward, preparing to draw. After a moment, he froze and he looked up. And the witnesses say his face was pale, and Jillette said, blank you, and slumped in his chair. Robbins then held up a thin cylindrical object. It was the cartridge from Jillette's pen.
Dang.
And Jillette had no idea how he did it.
Wow.
Robbins is 38. He lives in Las Vegas, and that's his act. He's a Vegas magician slash pickpocket. He doesn't use it for criminal gain. He uses it as the centerpiece of his act in Vegas. And he's known as a theatrical pickpocket. He is considered the best in the world, and he takes things from people in the crowd, their pants, their purses, their wrists, their fingers, their necks, and then he returns them in crazy ways. They say he works smoothly and invisibly, and that people never bust him during the act. Nobody ever has an idea that he just lifted something from them. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. I'd like to watch that. Or I guess I wouldn't see it.
Right.
Yeah.
Or witness it.
I don't see how those dudes do. The way they can unclasp someone's watch.
Yes.
Like a watch that's buckled on. Not just, you know, like a flex band or something.
Yeah.
By the way, there's a show on Amazon, Sneaky Pete. It's a Bryan Cranston produced show. We watched one of the seasons, first season of it. It's great. And he's basically a pickpocket. He's a con man.
Are you better off with something in your front pocket than your back pocket? Or does it matter to those guys?
Yes, front pocket.
Front for sure.
Front's better.
Always move. Keep your valuables in your front pocket.
Yeah. They say that Robbins, in his career as a full-time entertainer, has lifted stuff from Jennifer Garner, her engagement ring. She had no idea. Charles Barkley, he took a wad of cash out of Charles' pocket, and Charles had no idea. But that he's best known for an encounter with Jimmy Carter's Secret Service detail in 2001. While Carter was at dinner, Robbins struck up a conversation with several of his Secret Service men. Within a few minutes, he had emptied the agents' pockets of pretty much everything but their guns.
Whoa.
Robbins brandished a copy of Carter's itinerary, and when an agent snatched it back, he said, "You don't have authorization to see that." When the agent felt for his badge, Robbins gave it to him. And when the other agent turned to leave, Robbins went up to him and gave him the keys to the Carter motorcade and says, "You'll need these."
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
So in this article, they also explain how street pickpockets work, that they work in teams known as whiz mobs or wire mobs. Do you think the Musers could start up our own whiz mob?
Oh, yeah, we could do a great whiz mob.
I don't know.
So there's somebody in the team that is the steer. He chooses the victim, who is referred to generically as the Mark or the Vic or the Chump.
He's a chump.
Then they have the stall or stick maneuvers. The stall, the guy who's designated the stall, will get the victim into a position and holds him there, distracting his attention, perhaps by stumbling in his path. This is what you see in the movies, George.
Yeah.
Asking him for directions or spilling something on him. Then the shade, who's part of the team, blocks the Mark or the victim's view of what's about to happen, either with his body or with an object such as a newspaper. And the tool, who is also known as the wire, the dip, or the mechanic, will then move in and lift his wallet, hands it off to the Duke man, who hustles it away, leaving the rest of the mob clean. So it's this incredible operation that they liken the whole thing to, like a football play. It's like a well-executed offense, and they've got 5-6 teammates that all get in on the process.
So even if you maybe see or feel something and you see that guy did it, by the time you figure that out, someone else has it and is already down the street with it.
Yeah.
That will have another handle.
Yes, right. That's the thing, is I think most people are equipped to be vigilant on one other actor.
Right.
And so you never think about a team of actors, because for some reason your mind is just limited in scope, thinking there's one perpetrator.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, well, no way I didn't get pickpocketed. That person talked to me. I saw their hands the whole time when they were asking me for directions. So I know that I wasn't pickpocketed by that person.
What makes you look like an easy mark, I wonder?
When they look like you?
Yeah, when we went to London, I remember George had his big Dallas Cowboys windbreaker on. He wore all around town. That marked you as American tourist.
It was cold, George, too. I bought the wrong coat.
And you had a shoulder bag that you'd never zip up. It's always splayed wide open.
Yeah,
got headphones falling out of it.
So the author of this article in The New Yorker asked Robbins to demonstrate his method. So Robin said, "When I shake someone's hand, I apply the lightest pressure on their wrist with my index and middle fingers and lead them across my body to the left." So he's demonstrating this to the author. The cross body lead is actually a move from salsa dancing. I'm finding out what kind of a partner they're going to be. And I know that if they follow my lead, I can do whatever I want with them. Isn't that interesting?
Just on a handshake.
He says he needs to get close to his victims without setting off alarm bells. If I come at you head on like this, he says, stepping forward, I'm going to run into that bubble of your personal space very quickly, and that's going to make you uncomfortable. So he takes a step back. He says, what I do is I give you a point to focus on, say a coin. Then I break eye contact by looking down, and I pivot around the point of focus, stepping forward in an arc or semicircle until I'm in your space.
Mm-hmm.
He demonstrated winding up shoulder to shoulder with me, and I didn't really notice how it happened.
Right, because he's employing misdirection.
Yeah, and he says, see how I was able to close the gap? I flew in under your radar, and I have access to all your pockets right now.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. I love stuff like this.
Yes. It's so great. I would never, ever have the nads to try something like this. You know, if I was a young ne'er-do-well and looking for a way to make a buck or lift a buck, I was the worst thief imaginable, and I've only stolen one thing in my life.
Just the piece of bubble gum when you shoplifted?
Yeah, so I was probably 5. And we went to Whitaker's grocery store, which was 2 blocks from our house. And at the end of the counter checkout, the cash register, at the end of the counter where they would bag everything, was always a giant box of bubble gum. 1 cent or 2 cents for this little individually wrapped piece of bubble gum. And every time we'd go to the store, I would sit there and I'd look at this bubble gum longingly. And my mom would sometimes give me a piece of gum, but not very often, because she's probably also loaded up on sugary cereal that I requested and
sure,
all this other stuff that I'd requested. So by the time we got to checkout, she wasn't going to spend any more money on my sugar habit. But I'm looking at this gum. Well, one day, I kind of look at the guy who's ringing everything up, and I look at my mom, and I don't think anybody's looking, and I grab a piece of that bubble gum, and I put it in my pocket. And I didn't have a team with me. It was just a one-man operation. So now I get into the car, and I think, wow, I got away with this. We drive home, and as my mom is unloading the groceries in the kitchen, I, as obvious as can be, I go into hiding to chew this bubble gum. So I go into the living room behind the couch. You know how when you're a kid, there's a little space behind the couch and the wall so you can get, it's like a little clubhouse.
Sure.
So I go back there and I unwrap it and I start chewing it. And like 5 seconds later, my mom says, what are you doing back there? And I'm like, nothing, nothing. And she says, come out. And I come out from behind the couch. Where'd you get that gum? And I clam up, right? I'm not going to drop dime on myself. And she says, did you steal that from the grocery store? And I think at that point, I'm busted. And I think I admitted yes. We got back in the car. She drove me back to the grocery store, found the manager, and I had to give the gum or pay for the gum and apologize. I don't think I gave back the chewed up gum.
See, there you learned a early lesson.
I had to
lesson.
Go back and apologize, and I don't think I've ever stolen anything since.
See there?
Yeah. Way too
You
paranoid.
Learned your lesson. Mm-hmm. Never let your mom find out that you shoplifted.
Yeah. I was scared straight.
Yeah, I had to ask you this morning if it was still a thing, pickpocketing.
Now, yes.
I guess it is. Mm-hmm. I just don't hear much about it anymore.
Yep. But
it always seems like I was paranoid about it as a kid, and then when you did get out into the world as an adult and you're walking on the street, maybe in a new town, I would always think about it. But I don't even think about it anymore.
Well, you're moving around your own town.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's as common in our area of the world.
Have you ever thought about it?
Like, but like if you go to New York or San Francisco or some of the big tourist destinations, there are still pickpockets that work the main sites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about the, like if you are carrying the briefcase or your shoulder bag, I would think that would be easy to steal something out of that.
For sure.
Out of a backpack?
Yeah, or backpack, yeah.
Because you don't have touch sensors on your backpack like you do on your body.
Yeah. Right. That's why you use twist ties. From like bread loaves and stuff like that. That's a real cheap way to at least make
the zippers together.
Yeah. And of course they could, with a little determination, you know, get through those quickly, but it provides them an impediment, so they'll just go to the next person who doesn't have zip ties twisted around their, you know, their zippers closed together with zip ties.
I had a couple of ne'er-do-well friends when I was a kid who would shoplift from time to time. You know, we'd go into the 7-Eleven and they'd shoplift a pack of baseball cards or something. Made me so uncomfortable, and I know I was an accomplice.
You had to be on the lookout.
You knew about it, yeah.
You were the shade.
I was the shade. Made me so nervous that if they get busted, I'm going to the police station too because I'm an accomplice.
Well, just do what I did. Just always make a commitment to yourself that you'd turn state's witness.
And then I'd have to go into witness protection.
Mm-hmm.
Is shoplifting still a big thing, or is it?
Yes.
Is it waning because every place now has really good security cameras?
I still think it's a problem. I hear from business owners that say they just factor it in every year. They're going to lose inventory.
Really? Yes,
they just are.
They price it in.
Yeah. You're going to get it stolen. Boy, the crime of the century for us when I was a kid, told you we used to play the baseball in the summer with tennis balls. And we're always running out of tennis balls. We'd have to, you know, ask our parents if they had, you know, a sleeve or something. And one morning, got a knock on my door, friends, I think it was Scott Murray and C.B. Erickson, and they said, we've got enough tennis balls for the whole summer. Oh, great. That's great. Where'd y'all get them? Just come over to the field and find out. And they had hidden, they broke into the tennis shop and stole their big basket of probably 100 tennis balls.
Wow.
And all I saw was, we're all going to prison.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone knew everybody in our neighborhood and the people who worked at the tennis shop. I don't think they ever caught. And somehow we played the, so I guess I was an accomplice too. We played for the rest of the summer. But I remember I was paranoid. We're going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Not one or two tennis balls, but we had to have 100 of them.
Yeah,
brand new.
You were an accomplice.
Yeah, accomplice.
Okay, I had this happen to me just the other week. At a tennis facility, see the stray ball just laying out there in the grass, and I took it. And I felt conflicted about it the whole rest of the day.
I think that's okay. That's
outside
like finding,
the fence.
It's like finding a golf ball, right,
mm-hmm.
on the course.
Yeah. So you're just allowed to take. But what if they're the practice balls for that facility? Do they send someone around to gather up all the practice balls at some point?
I think they're like stores who work in the shoplifting losses. They know they're going to lose tennis balls.
And I felt bad about it until I went there again and then saw, like, the guy who was the instructor. He was going through this huge basket of balls, just picking some out and throwing them in the trash because they were so old and worn, like the one I had taken.
No, two labs, I would want those.
By the way, shout out to all of our kleptomaniacs this morning. That's a weird
what
condition.
Is up?
Yeah, I've never known anyone who was a kleptomaniac.
Have your girl that you had a crush on was a klepto. Winona
Ryder?
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, well, that's not me knowing a kleptomaniac.
Yeah, but
she's a famous actress.
She's your all-time crush, and she's a big-time klepto.
She is my all-time crush. And did have some kleptomania issues there for a while.
Yeah, she's a big-time klepto.
Stop with it. Just sounds so outdated. But yeah, you guys don't ever go into like a big retail store and steal cosmetics?
See what you can. Cosmetics, no?
No. All right, that's pickpocketing talk. It's 8:33 on the ticket. Coming up next, we're going to get a visit from Clarence, the maintenance man.